Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. In 1978, a Jewish astrophysicist named Michael H. Hart, who at one time worked for NASA, wrote a book entitled The 100, a ranking of the most influential persons in history. In this book, he used his own set of criteria, involving a number of wide-ranging factors, to list the 100 persons he believed had exerted the greatest influence on mankind in the world's history. In 1992, he published a revised edition, which is also the current edition. The results are not unexpected given the background of Mr. Hart, but they are shocking to say the least. The top five of the 100 in order as Mr. Hart presents them are Muhammad, Isaac Newton, Jesus Christ, Buddha, and Confucius. Paul the Apostle comes in sixth, while Moses is 15th, just ahead of Charles Darwin. No other person from Scripture even makes the list. In explaining his choice of Muhammad as the most influential person, Mr. Hart explained that Muhammad was successful in both religious and political fields, whereas Jesus was not. His reasons for not rating Jesus higher included his conclusion that Paul was the chief architect of Christianity. Mr. Hart, by the way, is not an advocate for Islam. He has, in fact, conducted a seminar on the need to protect Western civilization from Islam, among other influences that he believes are dangerous. It is possible, perhaps even likely, that Mr. Hart, as a Jew, has a bias against Jesus. This might explain why the Lord is ranked as he is on Mr. Hart's list. Yet an honest evaluation can only conclude that Jesus is the most influential person who has ever lived upon this earth. For a few moments today, let's consider the evidences from Scripture and elsewhere which support this conclusion. We begin our study with one of the most familiar and beloved verses in all of Scripture, John chapter 3, verse 16. In most of our translations, verse 16 is included in the red letter portion of our text. That is, it is included among the words believed to have been spoken by Jesus himself. There was no such distinction made in the original documents, nor in any of the manuscript copies, so we cannot know for certain if the Lord actually spoke these words. Many commentators, including many conservative commentators, believe verses 16 through 21 are John's inspired commentary on Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus, which precedes them in the text. Whatever view one takes, the truth of these words is unquestioned. Verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." As we consider this verse in the context of the question of the most influential people, there is no doubt that Jesus must rise to the top of the list. Here, in a summary statement of God's plan to save mankind from their sins, we see Jesus as the single most important person who has ever lived on the earth. According to this verse, he alone is the means by which we may be saved. The Scripture says that God gave his only begotten Son for that purpose. No one else in all the world's history may make this claim. Jesus alone is the Savior, and he himself, as he himself testified in John chapter 14 and verse 6, where he said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." If influence is defined by the ability to get someone into the presence of a great and powerful person, then Jesus is unsurpassed in this regard, for he alone can bring one before God in good standing. Something else in John chapter 3, verse 16 attests to Jesus being at the top of the list of the most influential people. It is his unique nature as the Son of God. In this verse, his uniqueness is captured by the use of the Greek word monogenēs to describe him. This word was common in the first century, and it appears 9 times in the New Testament. 6 times it appears, as it does in John chapter 3, verse 16, in reference to our Lord, and is generally translated only begotten. Now, some have suggested that the word itself carries a special meaning in reference to the Lord's deity and his virgin birth, but these things are not inherent in the word. We see this because Luke used this very word three times to describe what we would call an only child. In Luke chapter 7, verse 12, this word is used to describe the deceased son of the widow in Nain. In Luke chapter 8, verse 42, it refers to the only daughter of Jairus. Then in Luke chapter 9 and verse 38, it is used of a demon-possessed boy. In each case, the child was the one and only child of his or her parents. Now, as this word refers to our Lord, it carries the connotation of unique or one of a kind. Jesus is unique as the Son of God, even though everyone who is baptized into Christ is a son of God. This is what Paul taught in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. In that place he said, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." Now all who are Christians are sons of God, but none of us is a son of God in the manner that Jesus is. What makes him unique in this regard is perhaps best expressed by John in the opening words of his gospel record. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, John said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Now we know that these words refer to our Lord, because in verse 14, John says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." Who in all the world's history could be more influential than the one and only, one of a kind, Son of God, who is himself deity and the co-creator of everything that exists? The answer is no one. Believers, by virtue of their faith in Jesus and their obedience to the gospel, have signified that Jesus is the most influential person in all the world's history. The evidence of even the single verse we have been discussing just underscores that conclusion for them. But this is not all the evidence which points to this conclusion. Consider for a moment just how much has been written about Jesus as compared to the first name on Mr. Hart's list, Muhammad. A Google search of the name Muhammad will indicate 42 million possible sites. When you Google Jesus Christ, however, there are 47 million responses. If you simply Google Jesus, the total skyrockets to 207 million. Whom might we say is more influential based on these results? At the end of John's Gospel in chapter 21 and verse 25, he wrote these words, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books that would be written." Now unbelievers may scoff at such a statement, but what do the facts say? Well, once again, using the Google search engine, if one enters books Jesus, an astounding 35,300,000 entries will be referenced. Such a simple search method is hardly exhaustive, but it begins to illustrate just how widespread the Lord's influence is in the literary field. No one else in all the world's history comes close. Of course, one of the most visible examples of the Lord's influence on the world is our calendar. Until the Lord's birth, the marking of days, months, and years was pretty subjective, and thus could vary from culture to culture and from one era to another. But after the Lord's birth and life upon the earth, all of this changed. In the centuries following the Lord's return to heaven, the modern calendar began to take shape. Using the information available to them, scholars calculated the number of years back to the Lord's birth. Whatever miscalculations they may have made, and they made a few, they nevertheless made our Lord the center of human history. all time before the Lord's birth was calculated as before Christ, or B.C., and time after his birth has thereafter been calculated as in the year of our Lord, or A.D., which abbreviates the Latin phrase Anno Domini. In recent years, efforts have been made to minimize this aspect of the Lord's influence, beginning with Jehovah's Witnesses who deny the deity of Jesus, and continuing with many modern intellectuals, including some so-called religious scholars. Some now refer to the time after the Lord's birth as CE, or the Common Era. They refer to the time before his birth as BCE, or before the Common or Current Era. However, instead of refuting the Lord's influence, this kind of effort only underscores his place as the most influential person who has ever lived on the earth, because they still mark time from the time of his birth. The greatest example of the Lord's influence on the world, however, is the church which bears his name. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, the Lord promised to build his church. And Acts chapter 2 records the fulfillment of that promise as the apostles preached the gospel and 3,000 were baptized into Christ in order to have their sins washed away. Acts chapter 2, verses 38 through 41. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, the scripture tells us that the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This was the beginning of the church, and it has continued to this very day with literally millions worldwide who have obeyed the gospel as the 3,000 did on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. In spite of every effort, both internally and externally, to destroy the church, it continues to exist and will continue to exist until the end of time. So we ask the question, who is the most influential person who ever lived? There is no question that it is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This influence is captured in a brief essay written by Dr. James Allen in 1926, entitled One Solitary Life, and I'd like to read it right now. He was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another obscure village where he worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never went to college. He never visited a big city. He never traveled more than 200 miles from the place where he was born. He did none of the things usually associated with greatness. He had no credentials but himself. He was only 33. His friends ran away. One of them denied him. He was turned over to his enemies and went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. While dying, his executioners gambled for his clothing, the only property he had on earth. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 19 centuries have come and gone, and today Jesus is the central figure of the human race and the leader of mankind's progress. All the armies that have ever marched, all the navies that have ever sailed, all the parliaments that have ever sat, all the kings that ever reigned put together have not affected the life of mankind on earth as powerfully as that one solitary life. Considering the things that we have studied together today, how are you going to respond to this one solitary life? The one solitary life, the most influential life that has ever existed on this earth. The one solitary life upon which our eternal destiny depends. What will you do with Jesus? Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.